Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles with an encouraging word. And Stephen Ever.
He's brought me here where things are clear and trials turn to gold. He shared with me his victory. He won in days of old. I don't deserve the riches of
the inspiring late summer feast days completes Yahweh's master plan. The Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, or the Feast of Booths, looks forward to the millennium, and that last great day points to the judgment of all mankind. As with the early summer festivals, or spring, the great late summer festivals are often combined in our thinking. Here is a summary of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the last great day. We dwell in booths, temporary dwellings, for 7 days to teach us that we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth, looking forward to a new heaven and new earth wherein dwells righteousness. More than any other time of year, we plan to travel and make a pilgrimage to be with other brethren at the feast. The first and last days of the feast are pure convocations, and they are set apart. They are Mikdash. We expect to drink to the Almighty's word all 8 days of the festival in our tabernacles. Truly, the Feast of Tabernacles is the most joyous time of the year, the season of our rejoicing. The Feast of Tabernacles, dwelling with Yahweh. Why are we to dwell in booths? Leviticus 23, verses 41 to 44, says, "All Israelites shall dwell in booths." Its purpose is to teach us that Yahweh made children of Israel to dwell in booths when he brought them out of Egypt. Why did Yahweh make Israel to dwell in tents? To make them realize that they were not yet dwelling with Yahweh, that they had sinned, and that Yahweh does not dwell with sin. Exodus 33:1-11. The tabernacle of the congregation was without the camp. Sin separated Israel from the so-called Holy of Holies, Hebrews 9. We dwell in booths to remind us that we are not yet as close to Yahweh as we should be and as we would love to be. Tabernacles are humble abodes, not palaces. Hebrews 11. Now, I just gave you Hebrews 9, but Hebrews 11 shows that dwelling in tabernacles in humble obedience to Yahweh means we are desiring the set-apart city, the pure city, that we are faithfully waiting for it. And the music was provided by Keith Green from the 1970s. Lots of great standards for the believers. Leviticus chapter 23, then, regarding this feast, in verse 40, chapter 23, 40, "And you shall take you on the first day of the feast boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of fig trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before Yahweh, your mighty one, 7 days." No, the picture that many Protestants paint is very, very dull, but this is a rejoicing time. "You shall keep it a feast with Yahweh 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Mitzrayim. I am Yahweh, your mighty one." And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of Yahweh. Revelation chapter 21, Yahweh's tabernacle will come to this earth. He will dwell with us. We're also going to be going to Matthew 16. Well, you'll be able to turn there anyway. I'm just going to give the reference, Matthew 16:24. "It is good for us to be here," the emissary said to Yahweh. and Matthew 17, 1 through 13. Okay, now I found Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, Yochanan, saw the separated city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will tabernacle with them, or dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and Yahweh himself shall be with them, and be their mighty one. Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. So that was write, W-R-I-T-E. These words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his mighty one, and he shall be my son. And I'm reading out of the King James Version of where I see words that could have been translated differently, such as dwelling, I could change to tabernacle, and Aleph and Omega, the Greek, I changed back to its original Alpha and Tav, or Aleph and Tav, rather. So that was Revelation 21. I gave you Matthew 16 as a reference. It is good for us to be here. Psalm 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go to the house of Yahweh, to that tabernacle. This year in 2014, we are going to a beautiful place near Shalom, Salem, Oregon. And it will be out in the foothills and at a place called the Tabernacle. So there'll be a lot of good late summer colors, a lot of good autumn colors there for us to enjoy as we fellowship with one another. There's not going to be very many people there, but we're having a great time right now. We're just anticipating this rehearsal for the greater anticipation of being with the Mighty One, Yahweh, the King of Kings, Yahusha, the Messiah. Yes, Yahusha, the Messiah, the King of Kings. Yahweh, we generally use that term and that name for the Father alone, but occasionally I apply that to the Son as well, since Yahweh and the Son are one. And the Spirit dwells in Yahusha the Messiah, for he is that Spirit. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah 2, 2 through 5. Let us go to Yahweh's house joyfully to learn his ways and be taught to walk in his paths. And after that, we'll read a little bit from Nehemiah, or Nehemiah 8. So it's Isaiah 2. And Yeshayahu. It'll take me forever to look these up here. 2, verse 2. Isaiah 2, the word that Isaiah, actually 2, verse 1, the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Yehuda and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come you, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of Yahweh of Jacob. And he will, or to the Mighty One of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth liberty, no law keeping, no. Out of Zion shall go forth the Torah, the law, and the word of Yahweh shall go forth from Jerusalem, the word. Who is the word? That's Messiah. That's the Son of the Father. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, or house of Yaakov, come you, and let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Yes, wearing the proper clothing for the feast, as Yahweh commanded, and doing it all with joy, getting together with one another, as they did in Nehemiah 8. Israel hadn't dwelt in booths since the days of Yasha, or commonly called Joshua. Not even David, Solomon, Asa, Josiah, or Hezekiah had done so, to dwell in booths. And in Haggai 1, the first 11 verses, it shows that everyone was concerned with living in a sealed house. There was little concern for Yahweh's house. And so you could read that one in Haggai 1, 1 through 11. So here's Nehemiah, or Nehemiah, chapter 8. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spoke unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, to bring the Torah, which Yahweh had commanded to Israel. Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation of men and women, all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. Now that's not tabernacles there, of course. That's the Feast of Trumpets that we are celebrating. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. That's not the case in today's culture. They want to reject the Torah, the book of the law, or the Torah. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which was made for the purpose. And then we're going to go... Verse 5, he opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed Yahweh, the great Yahweh, and all the people answered, Hallel, Hallel, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped Yahweh with their faces to the ground. And Yasha, that's a human being there, or it says here, Jeshua, and Bani, and let's skid through these names here. You can read them if you like. And the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law distinctly, and gave sense, and caused them to understand the reading. So they not only read it, but they made comments. Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is separate unto Yahweh, your mighty, your sovereign. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is pure, separate unto Yahweh. Neither be sorry, for the joy of Yahweh is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is pure, neither be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests, Levites, and Ezra the scribe, to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which Yahweh had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, as we read there in Leviticus 23, 34 through 42, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount. And these days we'd say, head to the mount. Fetch olive branches, pine branches, myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make booths, as it is written. So here in Douglas, the Northwest, we have Douglas fir. We can make booths out of those branches. They're very fragrant. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, everyone upon the roof of his tabernacle, we should say. There, it's not they're not in the city in their houses, like some secular Jews do today, to just put a little tent outside their apartment building or something. That's kind of gives the wrong impression if we read into it the word house here. But the roof of his tabernacle, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of Yahweh, and in the street of the water gate, and the street of the gate of Ephraim, and all the congregation of them that were come against or out of the captivity made booths, and sat under the booths. For since the days of Yahshua the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. See also 2 Chronicles 30. Also, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of Yahweh. He read in the Torah of Yahweh. And they kept the feast 7 days. They didn't go home after the high days. They stayed there. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly, according unto the manner, or a great, exciting assembly, a wonderful time of rejoicing, with branches waving before Yahweh, waving to the Most High, the King of Kings. And in Hosea chapter 12 is a prophecy. Rich people of Israel today live in fine houses. Yahweh will have them dwell in tabernacles. He'll make them dwell. But here's Hosea chapter 12, verse 8. And Ephraim said, "Yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance. I found substance. In all my labors they shall find more iniquity in me that were sin. And I that am Yahweh, thy mighty one from the land of Egypt, will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles, as in the days of a solemn feast." Now, ironically, back in chapter 2, Yahweh says, "I'm tired of the way you keep the feast days," in chapter 2, verse 11 of Hosea. But the rest of the story is in chapter 12 that we just read here. He'll make us to dwell in booths, and we will enjoy it very much. At least more than the mundane routine life that we dwelt during our lifetime. This is feast time, when we want to arrange things, want to change our schedules, even for school and work, to be able to take this time to be with Yahweh, be with him in his tabernacle. Truth leads us to Yahweh's tabernacles, and perhaps I can read some of these in the book of Psalms, Psalm 43. Also, Psalm 81 is about the Feast of Trumpets there. Psalm 84, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Yahweh of hosts! My soul longeth, even faints, for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living Yahweh. Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Yahweh of hosts, my King and my Sovereign, blessed are they that tabernacle in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah." And then from chapter 84 to chapter 46, or the 46th Psalm. "Yahweh is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of Yahweh, the pure place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Yahweh is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Yahweh shall help her, and that right early he will. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. Yahweh of hosts is with us, the Yahweh of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of Yahweh, which desolations he has made in the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am Yahweh. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Yahweh of hosts is with us. Yahweh of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." That was Psalm 46. In Psalm 43, "Judge me, O Yahweh, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art Yahweh of my strength. Thou art the Sovereign One. Why dost thou cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy separated hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of Yahweh, unto Yahweh my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O Yahweh my sovereign. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in Yahweh, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my sovereign. That was all of Psalm 43. And we read Psalm 84, longing to dwell in Yahweh's tabernacles. Psalm 118, full of rejoicing and salvation. Let's forget about ourselves and concentrate on him and praise him. Let's forget about tomorrow. Forget about all. I don't want to mention what we should forget, because then we'll start thinking about it. Or at least I know I would. Let's rejoice in our salvation during this time of the feast. Each day is, oh, it's so nice and cool. Some of the afternoons get pretty hot still in October, the 10th month of the common year. But, well, at least in our part of the hemisphere. Psalm 118, 14. Yahweh is my strength and my song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of Yahweh doeth valiantly. And in the 132nd Psalm, tabernacling with the believers, and it's so much easier on us this time of year when the treacherous heat is not upon us in this northern hemisphere. Praise Yah for that. Psalm 132 now. Yahweh, remember David and all his afflictions. How he sware unto Yahweh and vowed unto the Almighty of Yahweh of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids, until I find out a place for Yahweh, an habitation for the Mighty One of Jacob. Lo, he heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool, or we will praise at his footstool. In verse 13, for Yahweh has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. For this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Truth, love, leads us to Yahweh's tabernacles. And we want to make this time of feasting more valuable and get into the Feast of Tabernacles spirit, the attitude. Feast of Tabernacles pictures the millennium, so everything we do during the feast is important. Let's put our mind, our heart, taste buds, and body into action. Enjoy a taste of the coming thousand years of peace. This is the Feast of Ingathering, a time of harvest when Yahweh will bring together his people. Leviticus 23:39. So, that was get into the feast attitude and the feast day spirit. Secondly, rejoice with purpose. Third, plan to endure any inconvenience, as a true believer should. So rejoice with purpose. Since you are Yahweh's first fruits, you should rejoice during the festival and enjoy the good things. Deuteronomy 14:26. When you eat a nice meal, you should know why we have it and who gave it to us. Isaiah 25:6. Don't let the mundane and minor things crowd out the real meaning of the feast. Be sensitive to the needs of the brethren, and give help wherever you see it is needed. So that was Deuteronomy 14:26 and Isaiah 25:6. Plan to endure any inconvenience. If you can do well during the feast when wronged, you'll learn to be patient with those you must deal with in the millennium and in everyday life. Today, that is. We must make sure not to offend any of our brethren, especially any little ones. Matthew 18, especially any little ones during the feast or any other time. Let us rejoice and be content in every situation. Paul says, I've learn to be content in Philippians 4:10, and to be positive in Philippians 4:8. Let your light so shine, Mark 13:10, Matthew 24:14, Matthew 5:16, and Isaiah 43. Purposely plan to let your light shine during the feast. Allow the evangel to be preached, Matthew 24, or published, Mark 13. It can also be demonstrated by our example, or your example, or my example, radiating Yahweh's pure spirit, Matthew 5:16. We should witness that Yahweh exists, that our Yahweh exists, in Isaiah 43:10. And we, his people, should set the example by following Yahusha Messiah's precedent. So Isaiah 43:10 now. You are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no Yahweh formed, neither shall there, that there was no sovereign formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange Elohim among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, that I am Yahweh. Yea, before the day was, I am he. Before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Here in verse 15, I am Yahweh, your separated one, the creator of Israel, your king. Praise Yah. You know, this whole book of Isaiah is about the Feast of Tabernacles. So before I go on, I would like to say a few words out of here. In verse 19, we can't skip this. I've done this before on some of the old podcasts a year or two ago. Verse 19, 43, Yeshayahu. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert, to give people, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of my offerings, of my burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor weary thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. Or sins. I, even I, am he that blots out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. The first father had sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. Point five now, and that point four was let your light shine. There. Now point five, get to know and love your brethren. John 15:9-13. If you can't love your brother, how can you love Yahweh? And it also works the other way around, doesn't it? But I always put love Yahweh first and then your brother, but people look at it differently. It's a joy to love and serve, laying down your life as a living offering. Go out of your way to meet new people. This could make a big difference to someone. Plan to learn from the sermons. Profit from this spiritual feast by listening closely to the sermons, taking adequate notes, praying for the diligence to follow through, and study the subject matter. Prove to yourselves from the scriptures that the message presented is true. This is a turning point, point seven. And another thing that I enjoy is just sitting there, just loving it all, just the surrounding, the brethren, the atmosphere, the fragrance, the food. A great time of year. Yes, my mouth is watering about this. And I guess soon I'll have to take a break. But make this feast a turning point. If we overcome, we will be pillars in the kingdom of Yahweh. Resolve to get rid of that one big problem you have. Revelation 3:12. If your mind has a wrong attitude, get rid of it. Matthew 18:15. Go talk to your brother. If you have a serious problem, go to that person and clear things up. So in summary, let us make this Feast of Tabernacles an important one. This is written by Gary Skordahl of Giving and Sharing. Give Share at www.giveshare.org. As Keith Green sings, all of our trials will be turned to gold at the Feast of Tabernacles and the great last day, the last great day. After Messiah's triumphant return to this earth and after the release of the captives on the beginning of the Jubilee year, one of the most wonderful events in the history of the earth will occur. The kingdom of Yahweh will be set up on this earth, and a thousand-year time of true peace and prosperity will begin. This is the millennium, the word taken from the Greek language meaning 1,000. The 1,000 years, ruling and reigning with Messiah. That's wonderful. There will be a peace. All nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. That's Micah chapter 4, verse 3. Wonderful peace. Peace, wonderful peace. No more wasted lives due to war, the corollaries of war, death, mutilation, deadly chemicals, mental problems, venereal disease, drugs, broken homes, heartache, and more. There will be no wasting of finances and resources used to maim and cause destruction. There will be positive spending of money to help and heal and promote construction. And don't take that as gospel when I say spending of money, okay? I'm just reading the article from GiveShare.org. Wild animals will be tamed. Not only will people not kill each other in the millennium, but the nature of animals will be changed so that a lamb and a lion can be together, Isaiah 11:6, and a small child can play with all animals without being hurt. This is in the chapter that starts, and there shall be come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This, okay, now, chapter 11, verse 6, in Yeshayahu. The wolf and the lamb. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child shall play in the hole of the asp, and the weaning child shall put his hand in the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my pure mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentile seek, and his rest shall be magnificent. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall set his hand against, the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, and Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. He shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Stopping there at verse 12, but going back to pick up at verse 4, 11:4, in Yeshayahu, with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. The righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. A lot of positive things here. Verse 3 even. And This is about the Messiah, the son of Yah, because he is that rod out of the stem of Jesse. He is that branch grown out of his roots. And the spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yahweh. So that's six spirits there, six of them. And shall make him of quick understanding and the fear of Yahweh. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor. It'll be peaceful, peaceful lives. Rather than today's rat race, pollution, crime, violence, and drugs, people will live Yahweh's way. They shall sit every man under his fig tree. And this is found in Micah chapter 4. Every man shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree. You know that Yahweh approves of private ownership. And none shall make them afraid. All people will walk, everyone, in the name of Yahweh. Yahweh, our mighty one, forever and ever. There'll be right ruling, right government. And I wanted to tell you where you can get this article. But I guess I won't right now. It's from giveshare.org, but you could click on articles and feast days, something to that nature there. Articles and feast days, or he used another word than feast days. I can't remember. Or did he? It was feast days. Who will rule us in the millennium, in that thousand-year period, for that right government? Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I quote, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And they lived and reigned. So these are leaders here. These are emissaries. Judgment was given unto them. They lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. And in Daniel 7:27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Also we find here in Revelation chapter 2, going back from we were reading at 20, chapter 2, 26. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. That's Yahweh talking to you. That's Yahweh's son talking to you. Indeed. And the 12 apostles, Matthew 19:28, the 12 apostles shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, Matthew 19:28. These tribes are descendants of ancient Israel, United States, Canada, Great Britain, or actually Great Britain should be at the head of all of this, Europe, Scandinavia, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa. These are descendants of ancient Israel. That are mixed in the different countries, including the United States and States and Canada. And Yahusha HaMashiach, the Messiah, will be the king of the kingdom of Yahweh. He will be the king of the kingdom. He is the king of kings and master of master, Yahweh of Yahweh. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. Revelation 19:16. Those in the first resurrection are very blessed, for they shall be priests of Yahweh and of Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There's a saying in our hedonistic society, let's party. But there's a better saying. Much better saying. Let's go to the feast. This feast of Sukkot, feast of tabernacles, the feast of ingathering, followed by that last great day, the eighth day. For one day only. It's immediately after the Feast of Tabernacles. And the FOT is generally observed away from where one normally lives, away from the stress and anxieties of business, away from the daily routine at home and work or school, away from noise pollution and traffic jams. Normally, it is held in an area where peace, happiness, and harmony prevail, where fellowship, learning, and spiritually, our maturity can be achieved. Yes. In our temporary dwellings. We're living in our temporary dwellings now, but we can also live in the tent, the Sukkot, The booths of the ancient Israelites were built of interwoven branches and boughs. That kind of shelter brought the reality, the remembrance, and thanksgiving that Yahweh was their protector, guide, and deliverer. Protector, deliverer, and guide. The one who brought them out of sin, out of Egypt, out of bondage and oppression, to a physical type of salvation which looked forward to the thousand-year reign of Messiah in the kingdom of Yahweh. And this is under the heading of the late summer feasts. He calls the fall feasts. And in our temporary dwellings, we are asking Messiah to be in our temporary dwelling as we live in our physical temporary dwelling. And they look forward to a thousand-year reign of Messiah. And thankful we can be, so thankful and rejoice that we have been delivered from the bondage of death and of sin. And we're looking forward to the millennial rest and to spiritual salvation as we keep the Feast of Tabernacles, the ingathering, Sukkot, the separated spirit of Yahweh, and Messiah dwells in us and we dwell with them. This is a far greater and enduring experience than just living for today in a booth of branches and boughs. It's a far greater one. The Festival of Tabernacles reminds us, there it is, the word festival instead of feast, I guess. The Festival of Tabernacles reminds us that living in temporary dwellings, whether our homes or our own bodies, foreshadows permanent residence. And I'll use that word glorious, but there is a problem with it, but glorious, immortal bodies that we will have in the kingdom of Yahweh. Maybe I could use that word splendid, immortal body in the kingdom of Yahweh. And we get ready for some judgment, the great white throne judgment. Briefly here, I'll talk about that. The seventh festival is often called the white throne judgment. As we read there in the Revelation chapter 20, and I saw a great white throne, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things. The dead were judged out of the book of life, of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Revelation 20:11. The judgment occurs at the end of the thousand-year millennial period. They lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished, according to Revelation verse 5. First resurrection, when Messiah returns, there will occur what may be called the first resurrection. Those who will live and reign with Messiah for 1,000 years must first be resurrected. Revelation 20, 5 and 6. Blessed and pure is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. And we'll go to another scripture verse. But the resurrection back to physical human life of all the dead who never had the opportunity for salvation will possibly occur after the millennium. This is the second resurrection, which will be followed by the great white throne judgment. The eighth day festival, the last great day, Shemini Atzeret in Hebrew, shows a time of new beginning for those who accept salvation, Yahweh's way of life, when they are given their chance for understanding. Eight is the number of new beginnings. It's a wonderful time of opportunity. And we're going to talk about the last great day for a moment and then go back to talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? I think that's my plan here. And so far at this feast, we're 44 minutes in. Eighth day, the solemn assembly of Atzeret, meaning restrain, is an independent festival from Tabernacles. In Deuteronomy 16, verse 8, Atzeret is applied also to the last day of unleavened bread, the last high day, Atzeret. It does not mean a day of sadness, but a time of reflection at the end of a joyous festival. The Torah is read in a ceremony known as the Rejoicing in the Law. Rejoicing in the Torah. Rejoicing, huh? In which a marriage ceremony is acted out, typifying the marriage of Israel to the Torah. According to this article, the Jewish festivals by Hayim Shaus, the Feast of Tabernacles was a festival which involved a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, usually on foot, in great caravans or groups of people banded together to escape robbers. See Psalm 42, verse 4. On the way up to Jerusalem, the songs of degrees, or songs of ascent, or steps. In Psalm 42, verse 4, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O Yah. My soul thirsteth for Yahweh, for the living Yah. When shall I come and appear before the Sovereign? My tears have been my meat day and night, night and day, it should say, while they continually say unto me, where is Yahweh? Where is Yahweh? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of Yahweh, with a voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept feast day. Yes, Feast of Tabernacles. In Psalm 120, 121, actually all the way to Psalm 134, that's 120 to 134, the Song of Ascent. And also Isaiah chapter 2, in chapter 56, 6. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of Yahweh, to be his servants, everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and taking hold of my covenant. They take hold of my covenant. Even them I will bring to my separated mountain, and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. I've got to continue. And Yahweh will gather the outcast of Israel. Yet will I gather others to him, besides those that are gathered unto him. All you beasts of the field, come to devour, yes, all you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they're like dumb dogs, they can't bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. They're like a dumb dog. Yes, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that can't understand. They are shepherds that can't understand, they all look to their own way, every one of his own gain from his quarter. They say, come you, and I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, only much more abundantly. Symbols of tabernacles, the palm branch, the lulav, L-U-L-O-V, the citron, the esrog, E-S-R-O-G, the myrtle and willow. So those are found in Leviticus 23:40. They emphasize the harvest nature of the Feast of Tabernacles. What groups are we to remember to help rejoice with us at the Feast of Tabernacles? The answer is found in Deuteronomy 16. And, let's see, so this is a question and answer period right now I'm doing about the feast. And then a general question, your sons, daughters, manservants, and maidenservants, the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow that are within thy gates shall feast with you. Those are the groups to remember to help rejoice at the feast in Deuteronomy 16. Okay, now these are Q&A from this feast article about the Feast of Tabernacles on the website there, giveshare.org. And question number 2 under general questions. Question 2, why did Yahweh hate the way Israel kept his feasts? Isaiah 1:11, Isaiah 5:11. Love that, especially first chapter there, 1:11. 5:11, Hosea chapter 2:8, when he says, I hate your feasts, at least he hated the way that they were doing them, the way they were not keeping them. Amos 5:21. So once again, Isaiah 1, Isaiah 5, Hosea 2, Amos 5:21, Zechariah 7:5-14, And let me see if I can just do the gist, the answer to that. Well, what were they doing? They were perverting judgment. They were thinking only of food, fellowship, and fun. At some feast day, and I think it was 2007, in Canby, Oregon, the leader there said, "Jesus just wants us to party on the Sabbath." And then the overall leader, Bonnie Shett, said the same thing, that he wants us to party. Party down? Come on down, baby. No, so what goes on? Sinfulness, when we're not, when our hearts are not right. Sinfulness, drunkenness, refusing to acknowledge Yahweh as the source of our blessing. And the food, fellowship, and fun is more important than lifting up all praises to Yahweh and giving him all due esteem and credit and splendor, and to magnify and exalt him above all. So that's how I would answer that question, that sinfulness, drunkenness, refusing to obey him, goes on at a lot of the feast days. That's sadly coming back. But it won't be coming back in my life. It won't be coming back in your life. Number three question. What are the seven purposes of the Feast of Tabernacles? Answer is found in Leviticus 23, Deuteronomy 14, Deuteronomy 16, and Deuteronomy 31. Let's see if I can summarize the answers for you. Well, some of the things that we do at the Feast of Tabernacles is learning to fear Yahweh always. We're not only learning to fear him, but to love him always, and to concentrate on the second coming, on the theme of Yahweh's soon coming and his imminent return as he comes in the cloud to gather up his bride and take us to New Jerusalem. Oh, the excitement there. Do you feel it? I don't know exactly what year that'll be. He says you won't know the day or the hour. You won't, but you will know the season. We don't know the day or the hour. He's going to come back on the Feast of Trumpets. No one knows when the new moon will be sighted for sure for the seventh month of the year, the Feast of Trumpets. But no one knows the exact day or hour until it's here. Remember the Exodus from Egypt is one of the purposes of the Feast of Tabernacles, remembering the Exodus. Next, know that Yahweh is the sovereign. That the sovereignty of Yahweh is brought out. That's a lot of Presbyterian churches used to teach that, and some still do. Such as on Sermon Audio, Paul Vigiano of Torrance, California. Such as Kevin Swanson from Colorado. But that's TMI there for you, too much information. One of the purposes of the feast is to do all the works of the Torah. Another is remembering the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and to recognize the place which he shall choose to place his name there. Recognize the Yahweh. Well, now that one's kind of hard because the pastor, the leaders, deliberate on what would be best for the young people and the old people, where it'd be a good place to go. But where does Yahweh choose to place his name? In the future, it's New Jerusalem, but today, it's right there in your tabernacle, right in your spiritual body. He chooses to place his name there, which doesn't mean that we can just take off on our own and go anywhere and leave everybody else behind. It's better to get together with some great people who want to feast together and do the right thing. On the other hand, it's, as far as I'm concerned, if they just want to party, and they're there for food, feast, and fun, and drink. Well, I guess it's for me. It's not my priority to get together with people like that. But coming down to that's all that's left sometimes. So maybe I will go, even though that they are. Now some people wouldn't go, but that's just me. I personally would go to a feast if that's all there was, is people were getting carried away for the most part. I would go look for the people who were not, the ones who were serious. You can always find them there. And you people are exciting. I say you are very, very refreshing to know and to meet in person. Maybe you'll meet some of you in Turner this year. What is the latter rain? is our next question. By the Feast of Tabernacles, what is pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles? The latter rain, and also the last great day. Find answers in the scriptures. Joel 2, 2:23, James 5, Deuteronomy 11, Zechariah 10, Jeremiah 3, Hosea, and John 7:37, that last great day of the feast. Talks Messiah went up and talks about that last great day. So it is the time of the pouring out of Yahweh's Spirit upon the vast majority of mankind. The latter rain pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles is the pouring out of Yahweh's separated or pure Spirit. Next question, question 5. Why did Yahweh allow Israel to go into captivity? Anybody know the answer? There are some who don't, but Ezekiel chapter 20 is beautifully answers that question there. And let's see what Richard Nickel put up here for. Well, this is exact here. Okay, here's his answer. They were being punished for polluting, or they were being disciplined. Let's use a different term there. People don't like that word punish. They're disciplined for polluting Yahweh's statutes, judgments, commandments, and testimonies. For polluting his statutes, his Torah, his Sabbaths, including his weekly and annual Sabbaths, or separated feast days. Okay. I'm going on to next question. And that was, why did Yahweh allow Israel to go into captivity? Why are we still in bondage? Why are we getting this global, weather changes and all of that? It could be because of our disobedience of the statutes and judgments and commandments of Yahweh, of his feast days, and of polluting his name, polluting it by the actions that we do or do not do. What is the meaning of dwelling in booths? All right, that's Leviticus 23, the Psalms 27, 46, Psalm 84, Psalm 43:3, 118, 61, and there's a big list. I'll put those up on the website if I at all possibly can. So you can read the answers to that question there. What's the meaning of dwelling in booths? And we've already covered that here. We're just reviewing. And Richard's answer to that question number 6 is, where to go? Dwelling in booths is a symbol of faith that Yahweh will fulfill his promises. Respect to the heavenly tabernacle where Yahweh dwells, where the Father Yahweh dwells, being under Yahweh's protection during the time of trouble, during that great tribulation, and eventually living in Yahweh's house, the New Jerusalem. So hopefully you'll look at the list of questions and answers, the Q&A, at the end of the article on the GiveShare website. Psalm 121, as we get ready to finish out here, we're at around an hour or so of sharing today. Psalm 121, a song of degrees about the hills. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from Yahweh, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Yahweh is thy keeper. Yahweh is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Yahweh shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Yahweh shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. In Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of Yahweh. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compacted together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of Yahweh, under the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of Yahweh. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They that prosper that love thee, they shall prosper that love thee, is what I should have said. And of course, those who oppose Jerusalem, and those who are boycotting the Jerusalem businesses may not prosper. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of Yahweh, our sovereign, I will seek thy good. In Psalm 123, the next psalm, verse 4, our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. In Psalm 124, our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. Psalm 125, they that trust in Yahweh shall be as Mount Zion, which can't be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so Yahweh is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the wicked, the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do greatness, O Yahweh, unto those that be great, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, Yahweh shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. Psalm 126, when Yahweh turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, Yahweh has done great things for them. Among the heathen, we can even say, Yahweh, YHVH. Yahweh has done great things for us. Yahweh has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Yahweh. In other words, bring us back from captivity, O Yahweh, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Psalm 127, except Yahweh built the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except Yahweh keep the city, the watchman walks but in vain. It is vain to you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gave his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of Yahweh, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth Yahweh, that walks in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Joyful shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Here in the King James it said happy. I changed that to joyful. Verse 3. The wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the side of the house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth Yahweh. Yahweh shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. In Psalm 129, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. And then the last verse, verse 8, neither do they which go by say, the blessing of Yahweh be upon you. We bless you in the name of Yahweh. And finally, Psalm 130, in the Psalm of Degrees. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Yahweh. Yahweh, hear my voice. Let thy ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Yahweh, shouldest mark iniquities, O Yahweh, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for Yahweh. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for Yahweh more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in Yahweh, for with Yahweh there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And the psalm and songs of degrees continue there through at least Psalm 135. And you could be really encouraged by that, like Psalm 134. As I close now, and Keith Green finishes up in the background, his silver is being turned to gold as we all enter into the gates, into that pure city of New Jerusalem, to see the King of Kings, to go up year to year, as it says in Zechariah chapter 14, and to worship the King of Kings at the Feast of Tabernacles, or to praise the King of Kings. Behold, bless you, Yahweh, all you servants of Yahweh, which night stand in the house of Yahweh, which by night stand in the house of Yahweh. Lift up your hands in the set-apart place in the Mikdash, and bless Yahweh. Yahweh that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. And to that we say, to one another, Shalom, my friend, until we meet again, and we go up to the Feast of Tabernacles. May Yahweh's peace be with you. Shalom.